Welcome to the Scribal Conservatory Arts and Worship Center. I pray that today's message is an encouragement to you in your journey of growth and development in Christ.
See, it come. I want to talk to you for a minute before we record.
Just a moment.
I've given. Lord, thank you for this time. Lord, thank you that you are with Apostle Teresa and with Stoney and Sharina, and you're with AJ and the children. And Father, we thank you that we can have peace in you. Lord, we thank you that you love us. God, that you heal us. Lord, we thank you that we can trust you. And Father, we thank you for this time together today. Lord, thank you that you've brought us together today. And Lord, we just give you honor and praise. Are you with me? Are you with me? Praise God. You know, it's all about us praising God together, right? It's not about me being alone, but it's about us being together. So any way that we can respond together will make it a lot stronger for us. I've been doing a talk on Thursday nights, and I just wanted to continue what I talked about last Thursday. And that is about this gift of free will that God has given us. I don't know how many of you think about that very often, but God, the thing that he gave us from the very beginning was the free will to choose. And sometimes we wonder why all these things are happening, but you see, it has to do a lot with the choices we've made down the line that are now accumulating into different places. Now, of course, that doesn't include the virus and the quarantine and things that we're in, but in our life, we have had the free will to choose and make our lives. And we've come to a place where the manna has ceased. God's not mad. He's just not feeding us every day with miraculous manna, but he wants us to go forward and grow up and not need that daily care that we got when we were first born again. He's not mad at us, but he's telling us to pick up our own clothes off the floor. You know, he's not going to do everything for us. We're going to have to start. Are you with me? We're going to have to start doing what we know we have to do for ourselves. I had a guy in my church. I pastored a church for a long time. And I had a guy come up to me in the prayer line and say, "Tell God to make me stop lying." And of course, God's not going to do that, right? He's not going to do that. It's something that we have to do. There's places in our lives where God is not going to intervene, but we're going to have to take the responsibility to take care of ourselves. And a lot of this that's going on is that we take responsibility to be happy in a time when our freedom is constrained. I loved what you wrote, LA, about dealing with being alone and dealing with being in quarantine, because we have to even take the responsibility there to make our lives count for today and make everything that we do count. Now, one of the things that's been happening, I think, is that we're challenged by what we've believed all of our life. Is that where most of us are? The songs we used to sing don't even fit anymore. We don't even understand the words that we used to say, because that's just not where we are anymore. They don't fit with our old ideas. And the thing that we've seen is that God changes not, the Bible says, but our ability to understand him changes. Our our perspective of God changes, and God does change the way he manifests to us. So when we've been busy worshiping old traditions, and the Lord has moved over here, you see, and so we don't understand because we're challenged by what we've always believed, instead of seeing that the cloud is moving forward and we need to move forward too. Has anybody else experienced that? Type in the message bar if you're understanding this, because I'd really like to know that we're getting this, because humanity has tried to understand and contain God within our human reasoning, but he can't be reasoned or confined. And Jesus is not just a historical figure or a prophet. He's a spirit that dwells within us now and breathes in us. And he died so that the Spirit of God could live in us. And what I was talking about on Thursday is, we've been saying, well, where's the future church going? What's happening to the church? What is happening with the church? And what was discussed on Thursday night was, it's so simple we've missed it. The future church, where is it going? It's going out of buildings and into me and into you and into us, right? Because we've known that we're the church, but suddenly we have no choice but to be the church. We are no longer able to put this off into some other realm of a natural building, but that we must become the church, because the Lord only expresses himself through you and me, right? We are his voice on earth. We are the communication of God on this earth. And the answer to all of our problems is in you and me. Where is the church going? It's going what? In you, in me. We've been trying to, I've written so many books and articles for years on the future church and where is it going. But the answer is so simple. You don't have to do anything to deserve it, but the image of God and the life of God is reflected in his people. And that's our job now, is to be that reflection of God. Isn't that just the most amazing thing? And the scripture says that we have a garden in our heart. There's a garden in us. Isn't that what the Matthew story is all about, where you plant the seed in the garden? That's in your heart. We have to put our hand to the plow and dig up that hard ground that is not receiving anymore, and we have to plant new seed. And we have to begin to see that the old seed of the past has grown up into things that we don't want anymore or need anymore, and so we need to get rid of those. Let me just look at this scripture in Leviticus here. I really like that. Would you turn to that first PowerPoint, please? There you go. You will still have so much of what God previously blessed you with in the past. You'll be so thankful for his provision. But in order to receive all that he now has for you, you will have to push the old stuff aside, because you need to have room for the new thing that he's giving and doing. Isn't that a great scripture? Maybe you could read that with me and just say, I. I, I will still have so much of what God previously blessed me with in the past. Would you just say that out loud? I will still have so much of what God blessed me with in the past. I will be so thankful for his provision. But in order to receive all that he now has for me, I will have to push the old stuff aside because I need to have room for the new thing that he's giving and doing. Oh my gosh. That means that all the bad seeds of the past have to be removed. I've got to make space in my brain, in my heart. I have to plow the field of my garden so that the new things can be planted, the new ideas, the new revelations. Because right now, when we have so much old stuff crowding up in us, it's hard for us to hear something new, but we need some space for some new seed to grow. You got to focus your mind on what is coming, because you're called to steward this earth and to reveal the kingdom. You're called to manifest the kingdom. So what I want to say to you today is that what you think about is the most important thing in your life right now. Your thoughts. You have 65,000 thoughts every day, and you make a decision in your mind what to keep and what to process, right? And so the idea is that God is the first thing we have to understand, that we have to plant in our garden, is God is only good. Got that? What the first seed you plant in your garden is that God is only good. We have to have a revelation of the goodness of God. Well, whatever happened to the overcoming evil with good, right? We overcome with goodness. It's not screaming at the devil like he's hard of hearing, but that we overcome evil with good. The first thing we plant in us is not why is this happening. Listen, Christianity is plagued by one thing, and that is that you think that there has to be a cause and effect for everything in your life. There doesn't. When the bad things happen and you're looking for why is this happening to me, it is not always the case. It says that the rain falls on the just and the unjust. There's not always a cause. So people are looking, well, why am I sick? It must be this. It must be that. It must be this. No, there's not always a cause. And so we have healing ministries right now that say, well, if you have this disease, it's because you have unforgiveness. And you know, there's not always a cause for sickness. Sometimes bad things happen, but God is only good. And you have to be aware that God is only good. Are you with me? So the next slide says that thoughts are seeds. We're talking about planting in our garden. And that thoughts are seeds. And when you control the seeds that you're planting in your heart, you change your life. It starts with the thoughts that are in your mind. They're not just there. We don't just endure them randomly. We take control over the thoughts that we allow to grow. I told Apostle Teresa last week, and she posted it. Your mind is a womb that, and your thoughts come into your mind, and in that womb of your mind, you create a child. That means every thought will grow, good thoughts or bad thoughts. And they grow until thoughts become things. Thoughts become things. Thoughts become first. Let me just go into the next slide. Thoughts become words. So your mind is processing these thoughts, and these thoughts become words. Our thoughts, we begin to speak them. Now, when you speak your thoughts, now words become things. That's why we have to guard our confession. But we have to guard our thoughts before they get to words. You see what I'm saying? Are you with me? So we have to be careful about what we think about, because our thoughts will grow and bring friends for fertilizer. So we watch our thoughts and we watch what we say, because we're creating with our words. We are co-creators with God. He created the world with words. And we create our lives with words that begin with thoughts. So as we look at our lives, we see that we don't understand everything we see, and we don't always interpret everything we see right. And we think we understand something when we don't. Let's look at the next slide, please. So I like to think about it like this. Say you're in a second story apartment, and you're just living your life, and then you look and your window's kind of foggy and you can't see very good, but you look out the window and you see this animal passing by that you've never seen before. Now your thoughts aren't going to be able to really tell you what that is. If you've never seen a giraffe before and you can't see very clearly, you can meditate and ponder over that and try to get ideas about what that could be. But really, until you go outside and take a look, you can't really tell. You hear? You see, we make a lot of assumptions and we try to find out why are things happening? But we don't know, because we can't see everything clearly. We can't see everything that's involved. We have to be able to see what the totality of what's being revealed is to us in order for us to understand. So it requires us to meditate more and to be more clear about what we see, so that when we look at things, we can know exactly what to think about them. I love this quote from Michelangelo, the next thing. In every block of marble, I see a statue. As plain as though it stood before me, shaped and perfect in attitude and action. I have only to hew away the rough walls that imprison this lovely apparition to reveal it to other eyes to see as mine see it. So the minute Michelangelo sees a piece of marble, he sees what's inside. He sees past what it looks like now and sees into the creativity of what it's meant to be in his world. So you see how he sees that and his thoughts begin to create. And he brings the invisible to the visible realm through his own creation. And that's what artists do. That's what singers do. That's what writers do and actors do, is that they see something that so clearly that they can bring it forward out of the invisible to the visible through our thoughts. So I hope you're understanding what I'm saying here, because we're trying to understand how important your thoughts are to your creativity. Thoughts can be very contrary to your destiny. They can take your destiny away. We have to think about what we are supposed to be creating in our lives. When we look at our lives, we need the insight to see what that creation should look like, because we're responsible for the creation of our lives. Oh, if I'd had somebody tell me this so long ago, because I have floundered most of my life wondering what I did wrong, wondering why people would do this or say that, and being unrailed because of other people and their offense. And I couldn't see past hurt a lot of times to see my purpose in life. We always have to see the bigger picture. What is this? What am I carving out in my life? What am I bringing forward? And that is the primary thing. Our thoughts have to keep on that track, because other thoughts will derail us. My God, my God. So what I was talking about Thursday was that you have to have self-awareness. You can turn to that one. You have to have the capacity to look at yourself and realize and see yourself as an individual creation of God who's separate from the environment, distinct and unique. And if you see that and think about that and let that be your thoughts, then won't your words change? If you have the self-awareness to begin to see, how do we get that? Our free will brings us into self-awareness so that we can see what is the purpose of our lives. My God, self-awareness brings us into right thinking. Right thinking brings us into right words. Right words bring us into right choices. Otherwise, we'll live with the consequences. It's just such a wonderful thing to understand. You can go to the next slide, and then we'll be finished with slides for a while. Up one, I think. Yeah, thank you. That we understand that we create our futures because we have free will. Because we have free will, if you have an awareness that you have free will, you can begin to control your thoughts. I think we should be teaching kids this from the get-go. It's not just don't say that word, but let's not think those negative things about ourselves. And that's, you know, what we've been taught for so long is positive confession and how that works. But we see that positive confession can only work for you if you believe it. See, don't say that. Well, it doesn't matter unless you believe it. First, you have to have the thoughts that will believe. I love what Bernard said on Facebook the other day. Every day, he said, I can choose to live in the pain of my history, the pain of my ancestors that they experienced in slavery and Jim Crow, the pain of growing up in a dangerous community destroyed by riots in the summer before I was born. Or I can choose to live in the potential of being created in the image of God, living with unlimited potential as a citizen of the United States, living out my dreams and creating my life that reveals my greatness. I choose life because I'm a free American. I choose the future. What do you choose? See, he's choosing the thoughts. He's choosing, of course, we are informed of our past. We understand the horrible history, cultural history. We understand how bad that was, but we choose to not live in the pain of that history. Are you with me? We can't live in the pain of our ancestors, because what they experienced brought us into a place where we can choose the potential of living in the image of God. So your awareness, your self-awareness, enables you to make a choice to decide what you're going to believe and not believe. You can choose. And that choice is what differentiates human beings from animals. The ability and capacity to choose your belief system and to form decisions is what makes you a human being and not just an animal. The ability to choose our thoughts and differentiate ourselves and choose our destiny. Imagine free will. I don't hear people's teaching on it very much, but the whole secret of success is free will. The freedom that God has given us to create our own lives. Let's look at the next slide, please. Thank you. It's just a silly one, but yeah, not that one. Up. I think that's the wrong direction. Up one. That one. I'm calling in sick because I have an eye problem. I can't see myself coming into work today. Well, that's a perception. That's a joke, of course. But a lot of times we kind of do that in our lives, don't we? We make excuses for what we don't want to do. And I just thought that was funny, and I thought I'd throw that in there. Galileo said, we cannot teach people anything. We can only help them discover what's already inside of themselves. Wow, we can't. The only thing I can do is to help you see what your destiny already is. I can't give it to you, but I can help you discover what's already inside of you. And to be aware that God is living in you and your possibilities and potential are limitless if you move into them. Now, good and bad happen as we're moving into those places. But if you think, you've got to order your thoughts, especially when difficulty comes. We have to order our thoughts and keep our confessions strong and in the right place so that we can be able to continue. Just because something bad happens doesn't mean you've missed the mark. Like I say, it's not always cause and effect. When things happen that are difficult, keep your vision strong. Keep your eyes straight forward. It says that Jesus kept his eyes like a flint toward Jerusalem. When he had to come into the most difficult times of his life, he didn't look one way or the other. We can't let circumstances control our decisions. We keep control over our thoughts. That's what we can do. We can control our thoughts and we can control our words. Are the bad thoughts going to come? All the time. All the time. But we command them to stop. I've told you guys before, I've looked in the mirror and I've commanded myself to believe certain things. You will believe this. I've looked in the mirror and told myself, shut up and believe this, right? I've told you how I put my head in the toilet and told myself, you will believe this. You will stop thinking this way and you will think this way. Sometimes you have to be really strong with yourself to control your thoughts. I told that in church one day and a couple of people left. They were offended that I would say such a thing. But if you can't control your thoughts, you must. I mean, our spirit must supersede over the top of our thoughts, and we must have control of the words we speak. You can't just rave and rage on about what you're unhappy about, but to control your thinking, your choice is to control your thinking and control your response. And that's how you're going to get through. That's how we get through the hardest things in our lives, things we think we can't make it through. Sometimes, I don't know, when you have a Gethsemane in your life, when everything falls out of the bottom, the only thing you can do is hold on and control your thoughts and your words. And just hold steady. Of course, disasters are so difficult to handle. And the only thing we can do is to move into the limitless possibilities that God is giving us at that very moment. Now, the next slide is about how the kingdom of God, I don't know, do you think about this? The kingdom of God is within. Inside of you, it's not just out here, which of course it is, but Luke 17 says the kingdom of heaven is within you. Now, this is real resurrection when you get this. In the midst of you. The Greek says literally in the midst of you. The kingdom of heaven is in your cells, in your breath, in your mind. And the Lord's desire is to continually reproduce himself in a people. And when you keep that kingdom of heaven foremost in your mind and in your breath, you'll see Christ unveiled. Because the kingdom of God is released from you when you speak. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. The Lord reproduces himself in you. The Christ is released from you when you express the kingdom from yourself, particularly in times of trouble. Oh my God. You experience the kingdom to the degree that you're conscious of that possibility. God's presence is everywhere, but it's in you. And it's in me. And the scripture says that kingdom expands every day. In me and in you, the kingdom is expanding in you. As you begin to control your thoughts and your reactions and your responses and your words, the kingdom continues to grow in you like a mustard seed or leaven invading the earth. Can we see the next slide, please? I'm not going to talk too much about this, but I do have a teaching on this that we might do someday. But the Gospel of Thomas, which was, it's not scripture, but it was regarded by the early church as scripture. And they used this book a lot. In fact, I found the Gospel of Thomas, some of the original manuscripts in Egypt when I was there, but it says, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is inside of you and outside of you. These are meditations. These are things for us to think about that we don't usually think about, but when we share with each other, when we sing, when we release our gifts, we're releasing what's inside of us, which is kingdom. Praise God. Praise God. I just love that. Love that. I hope that the Lord is speaking to you today. I think that's the last for a while, but there's no greater truth than there's no greater truth than the indwelling kingdom of God inside of a people. There's no greater truth than that, that God dwells in you. He made his dwelling place inside of people. Where's the church going, the future church? It's going to be more and more visible in a people. One of the mottos I've used for years is the revealing of Christ in the people. And it just becomes more and more clear to me all the time. Jesus came and died and rose again to live in you, to bring the Spirit of God to live in you, to give you life, to give you authority, to give you power. And 1 Corinthians says, you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you. You know, I think I've talked about that so much, but you are the temple. Now that's you plural, not just me alone. But you together, that's koinonia, isn't it? You're the temple of God. So we look at people trying to restructure and rebuild the temple that stands in Jerusalem. They're waiting for the temple to be restored. And what are they waiting for? Because that's not the completion. The temple in Jerusalem being rebuilt is not the conclusion of the matter, but the temple is revealed in you and me. The Jerusalem temple was a shadow of and a manifestation of Christ in a people. We've been so misguided thinking that the Jerusalem temple has to be rebuilt, and that's a big part of Christian doctrine, but it's not what we should be waiting for. We should be waiting and expecting to see the manifestation of God in a people. You're the temple to be restored on the third day. This is the third day, the 3,000th year from the cross. You're a word fitly spoken. You're a communication, the energy, the release of your thoughts and your words. You're the conduit through which God speaks. You are the earthly messenger sent to prepare the way. Think about this. This is a slide we have also. When Jesus died, he took sin away with him. Wow. From now on, think of it this way. Sin speaks a dead language that means nothing to you. God speaks your mother tongue and you hang on every word. You are dead to sin and alive to God. That's what Jesus did. Jesus took sin away. If we enter into the thoughts of sin, we're speaking a dead language. Because what we should be speaking is creatively. Our job is to bring the heavenly ideal onto the tangible earth. The earth should be filled with heaven. Heaven is not something up here in the sweet by and by, up somewhere. Heaven is what dwells with us when we are in the presence of God. So the kingdom is everywhere, within or without. Isn't that a wonderful idea? And as we understand, as we live, we are the kingdom of God breathing upon the earth. When Jesus said that his kingdom was at hand, he said, repent. John the Baptist said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. It's right at hand. But when Jesus died, he brought the kingdom. When do you think the kingdom's going to come? when you die and go to heaven? Or do you understand Jesus brought the kingdom when he died, and it's in me and it's in you? I just love that. Oh my God, I don't think there's anything more important for us to understand that the kingdom is in me and everywhere around me. And oh, I breathe in and out the kingdom, and I live fully to reveal. And the kingdom life is for us to uncover. There's a slide here that says that God is only good. And you must have a revelation of that goodness and love. The kingdom is without boundaries. It's in you and me without boundary. And you're the perfect expression of God. And empowerment comes through your positive expectation. Your empowerment comes through you understanding how important it is to control your thoughts and to become responsible for your responses and reactions. There must be a place that we understand that resurrection takes that seed that was planted with the words we speak, and resurrection quickens the seed. That same spirit that rose Christ from the dead will quicken your mortal body. There is a place where that seed of God that you've planted ignites and comes back from dormancy and begins to grow on the earth. So he says, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. But now that it's upon us, most of us need to repent because we haven't realized, we haven't comprehended that it's already here now. It was rapidly advancing until Jesus died. But when he died, the kingdom came. We don't have to pray, thy kingdom come. We have to be the revealers of the kingdom. Our job is to reveal the kingdom of God that is already here. We make it visible. We make the kingdom of God visible upon this earth. We take the invisible and make it visible. So we bring alignment then to what God has said. To birth inside of us what the Lord is bringing. Can we have the next slide, please? The next one, please. So I just want to pray with you right now that you hear this and that you understand what this time in your life is all about and what we're called to accomplish. We're called to become a group of believers who can truly change the world. And the only way we can change the world is through changing ourselves. It's not something that is difficult. It's a decision we make every day. The decision we make to, I'm not going to think that way. I'm going to think this way. I will believe this. I make a choice in my life to plant this seed in my garden. I will believe that God is good. I will believe that God loves me, that I don't deserve to be treated badly. I will believe that my life has purpose and that I can bring it forward through the confession of my heart. So Father, I thank you, God. I thank you for each person here, Lord, that there is no misunderstanding. I thank you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit ignites this word, God, that it causes us to break inside and to see our own responsibilities. Lord, like that tide, to see that vessel breaking and the light shining through. Lord, thank you that you can show us how to be the manifestation of Christ. Lord, not through preaching and being weird and super spiritual, but Lord, that we can be your manifestation just by speaking life. God, and I thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for each person here, Lord, that the answers to their problems are near to them. Lord, that your thoughts permeate their heart. God, I thank you that each person here can look at their problems in a new way and can see it's not just about having an answer. It's not just about when will this end, but it's about how I will walk through it. How I'm making the choice to walk through it this way. This is such a secret to life. Not how long is this going to last, but how will I maximize my response and how will I walk through it? So Father, I just thank you and bless you. God, I just release truth to the mind of Christ that is upon us. And Lord, I thank you. I thank you for each person here. Lord, I thank you for Paul Dixon and for Bernard and for Nathan, for Alexandra, Mashana and T. Bush and Deborah Poole and Rodell, Tracy, L.A., Shakira, Shantae, Dominique, Joanne, Melanie. God, I thank you for them. And Perry and Evelyn and Veruva, Jenna, Chromebook, I don't know what your real name is, but Chanel and Michelle and Nicole and Cynthia, my God. And there's Bernard again. And let me see. So everything changed now. Melanie and Perry and Evelyn and Chanel and Michelle and Cynthia, Nicole, Barbara, Tracy, and even a phone number that we don't know. I pray for you today. I pray that you are released in your heart, that hope springs up to you, the hope fills you today, that your responses can bring you through. Your responses to your problems are your answers. Now we're going to have a small discussion afterward if you like, but we want to give you a chance to, I want to just remind you that every Thursday night at 7 o'clock, I have a online live Facebook live on my ministry page at 7 o'clock, and I hope you'll join me there. And it would really mean a lot to me if you join me. And if you need help during this time where Apostle Teresa's gone, would you just email me here at dr.kluane@kluane.com. Email me with your phone number and I'll try to help you. And I pray that you'll do that so that we can give Apostle Teresa some time with her family and to solve her problems. Next slide, please. We just ask you today to give your tithes and your offerings generously to Apostle Teresa today. If you weren't here at the beginning, I explained that there are some other circumstances that are causing great need as well. The baby is still in the hospital. She is more stable than she was, but she's still extremely sick. But not only that, but there's other circumstances that really need some help. And so if you can be sacrificial in your giving to Apostle Teresa, I know that she would be forever grateful. You know, she's been really faithful, and sometimes sometimes we have to ask for help. And I know she would never ask. So I'm asking for her. I hope I got everybody's name and I didn't miss anybody. So do you have, did you get the addresses for where to send? They're here on the chat and also on the overhead that we put up. So does anybody have any comments about what was shared today or questions about what was shared? Responses? Thank you, Nicole. Thank you. Does anybody have anything they want to share? We can turn you on. I think Bernard is coming on.
Veruva has a question in the chat.
How can you tell when you are processing negative events effectively and when you are in denial? That's a good question. I think when we're not processing negative events effectively, we're going to see it right away. I've certainly made so many mistakes myself, and I think that the process of just learning and just continuing to understand that God is merciful, and if we make mistakes, it'll come around again and we'll have another chance to process. The denial of it all, just pray that God will show you, I guess, would be the best thing. What do you guys think is a good answer for that? Does anybody else want to respond? Thank you. It was reassuring. Hi. Thank you. Hi, Barbara.
Hey, it's simple. Ask and you shall receive. So I ask, even though I thought I was right, but I wasn't. And he tells me all the time. So then I know to correct it. But it's not until I recognize it that I'm not saying it right because it's not working. So then I have to ask, say, okay. Show me. And he does. Well, it's so loving. It really is. And easy because he makes it simple. And once you get it, you really get it.
Right. Yeah. Just trying to share some of the most important things that I've learned along life that will shorten our times of difficulty.
Yeah.
So Perry Boyd says, I think it comes in prayer, open to God to shine light on things. That's good. Yeah. And Melanie says, thank you for your teaching. I'm going to study more on the scriptures of free will. Yeah. I hope you do that. That would be great. Anybody else have something they want to share or ask about?
Smile. How do you do these? Oh, I'm on mute. Am I talking now? Hello? Yeah. Oh, I gotta get used to these things. I just want to say smile because he does love you, and just relax, you know. He's a good guy, and he loves to laugh with you. Yeah. We're the ones that they sometimes can't laugh, but he goes, laugh. Ha, ha, ha. He got it. Yeah, we laugh.
Well, thank you for sharing, Barbara. Thank you. All right. All right. Is anybody else? Did you get something from this? How about you, LA? Tell me what you got.
Oh, absolutely. I love that the message was extremely, someone said in the chat, very reassuring. Because we do live in a world where we've been conditioned by religion, the cause and effect of our walk, and how we're always waiting for the kingdom in the past. And right. And through your teaching and through Apostle, that has been, in my life in particular, broken off to the point where I recognize that the kingdom is inside of me. And I exude the kingdom of God. And when we as believers, as children of God, when we walk in a room, when we are in a particular environment, the kingdom shifts the atmosphere. And we have to be very aware of our Christ identity and not allow the cares of the world, if you will, to put us in a place where we forget who we are and the power in which God has graced us to hold. And being ever reminded of who we are in Christ is what allows us to be the changers, to be those who are called to be the change, and not from a religious perspective, but from the true identity of Christ that the world has been longing and waiting to see and experience separate from and outside of religiosity.
Amen. Amen. That's exactly right. Exactly right.
Amen.
Wasn't that cool about Michelangelo, how he can see in a rock what it's supposed to be? I just love that analogy.
Yes.
How about you, Shante? Why don't you share? Are you there?
I'm here, Dr. K. Yeah. Blessings, everyone. You know, this was a really, I really, really enjoyed this message. And I had, it's just wonderful to know that we have free will. And to hear a minister tell us that, because religion wants to keep you in a box, in their box, you know, and keep you from thinking. I mean, a lot of people do not even understand how to think outside of their religious teaching. And so even as you have brought this forth today, and even as Apostle has taught in the past about the kingdom of God being in us and giving us the power and giving us the wisdom and things that we need to go forward, it causes us to be able to think. It causes us to be able to respond correctly. It causes us to be able to, you know that God is with us to bring us into that place of that we need to be in. And I just thank God for the message. It was really yeah. Blessing. It was a blessing. Thank you.
Well, I know for me, I need to hear this over and over again. It really helps me. So I pray that it made a difference. Anybody else want to say anything? Well, thank you so much for attending today. Thank you for your giving to Apostle Teresa. Thank you for the love that you expressed to her. And I hope to see you again really soon. Thank you so much, you guys.
Thank you, everyone. Please join us on Tuesday nights for Bible study on Facebook. Go to the Scribal Conservatory, Bible Study Group, and ask to join. And that's 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, everyone. Thank you, Dr. K.
And my study on Thursday night.
On Thursday, Dr. 7. K at 7 p.m. Please join us. We get some great teaching. It's very profound, and you will learn a lot. And these teachings are continued in Bible studies. Okay, so please join us. And thank you so much. God bless you all on behalf of
Apostle
and Dr. K. Love you all. Bye-bye.
Love you. Bye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Scribal Conservatory Arts and Worship Center podcast. Tune in next week and connect with us at thescribalconservatory.com.